You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, guys, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break Podcast. Just that little short podcast I do each day, just providing some different information along with the daily regular show. My name is Josh Lloyd. I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter, as always, at @RedRock_Bball. This is, of course, Monday's show. Could be Sunday when you're listening to this, talking about waiver wire ads and some NBA quick check-ins, fast break check-ins, if you will, for the fantasy value of three teams across the NBA. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
All right. Let's get to it indeed. All right. What we're going to do to start this off is looking at some players who could be available on your waiver wire. The majority of these guys are under 70% rostered on Yahoo leagues. Some players who could be around in your leagues that might provide value for this coming week and for the season ahead. And start off with four guys that are directly or indirectly involved in the trade that went down. I did a whole trade breakdown, so you can go find that on the podcast feed or over in the YouTube videos. Kelly Oubre Jr., Trevor Ariza, De'Anthony Melton, and Tomas Satoransky. I think Melton has higher value than, say, someone like Josh Jackson or even McCall Bridges in Phoenix. He started today's game against the Phoenix Suns, today being Saturday, and put up some pretty good numbers and look solid there. I don't know what's going to happen when Austin Rivers arrives and whether Kokoshkov's going to make a terrible mistake and put Rivers into that lineup. But I think we're going to get decent enough value. And for all these guys, Melton, Oubre, Jackson, Bridges, the one who provides the most value in the fewest minutes, I think, is De'Anthony Melton. So I'd be looking to add him. Oubre, I don't know if he's going to play 22 minutes or 32 minutes. It's a big unknown as to how Kokoshkov's going to value him over Bridges or over Jackson. I think he should be looking at Jackson and Bridges over Oubre, but that's not for me to decide. And Trevor Ariza should get a slightly more solid role in Washington, while Tomas Satoransky, really the only other guard on this roster apart from John Wall and Bradley Beal, he's going to be forced to soak up a much larger role despite the fact that he'll now come off the bench instead of starting. So I think all of those guys are indirectly impacted or directly impacted by that trade, and they have some value to take a look at. Another player to look at, I think, is Jonathan Isaac, who's putting up the defensive numbers at the moment. He's available in quite a few leagues, 44% of Yahoo leagues, and he's averaging almost a steal and 1.3 blocks over the course of the season. But of late, that has been much improved. We've seen some big steal and big block games from Johnny Isaac. In fact, over the last six, he is averaging some significant numbers. Only 7 points, but 5 boards, 1.3 steals, and 2 blocks. And that's good enough for him to be a 12-team league player. While The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, is also available in 46% of leagues. His steals are through the roof, 2.4. But the other things that are down, his blocks and his field goal percentage, I think they come up. We've seen the minutes spike, averaging 29 a game over the last five. He's clearly beaten out Alex Len. He should be on your radar for all 12-team formats. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander continues to be rostered in only about half of leagues, and I think it should be a lot more than that. Lou Williams is out for a couple of weeks with a hamstring injury. Shai is 136th over the last couple of weeks. He's shooting the ball well, and he shot the ball pretty much well all season. The blocks and steals have been okay. He's not a high assists and rebounds sort of a player, but I do believe he has upside to get more aggressive as the season goes on, and I do like him as an ad. I think a straightforward one that most people would be aware of at the moment is Larry Nance Jr., the 24th-ranked player over the last 2 weeks. Not starting, Channing Frye's doing that, but he's playing 30-plus minutes, and I would hope, I don't know if Larry Drew will do this, but I would hope that he can maintain a solid role for the rest of the season, even when Tristan Thompson returns. He's providing good field goal percentage, strong free throws, steals, blocks, rebounding. He's giving you an unlikely source of assists as well. Nance is as must roster as they get. Another big man I think you should be looking at is Cody Zeller, who has played 29 minutes a game over the last 2 weeks. 12-8 with a block and 1.5 steals on 61-92 from the field and the line. You can't argue with those numbers. He is a top 35 player over the last 2 weeks, and you should be looking to get him onto your 12-team league rosters. He's clearly pushed aside Bismack Biyombo, Bill Hernan Gomez, and Frank Kaminsky. There was a stage when Zeller was playing 24 minutes and these other guys were getting the other 24. Now he's pushing up closer to 30, as it really should be. While PunchBob Shiploke, Bobby Portis, with Jabari Parker likely out of the rotation, Porter should be able to go from 21-22 minutes to 25-26 a night, and that's enough for him to be a points and rebounds sort of a guy. He does lack defensive numbers. Efficiency can be up and down, but I do think Portis is absolutely worth a waiver wire ad. I think probably the most surprising name, maybe not on this list, but in terms of where he's ranked at the moment, is Kevin Huerta, who is the 34th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. He should be added in all 12 team leagues. He won't be losing his starting job, I don't believe, when Torian Prince returns. He'll be locked in for that position all season. And we've seen the aggressiveness and the efficiency for him continue to improve pretty much every game that he's playing. We're seeing that from Huerta. So I think you should be looking at adding him in a lot of, or nearly every 12-team situation. The shooting is probably a little bit outsized, 54% and 48 from three at the moment, but he gets assists, he gets steals, he can block shots, he hits threes, he can score. He is a must-roster player, in my opinion, Kevin Huerta of the Atlanta Hawks. Kelly Olynyk, another guy putting up really strong numbers at the moment. I don't know how it's all going to work for Olynyk when Goran Dragic returns, and now that Hassan Whiteside is back, how that's going to fit in. But I think we're going to see Olynyk, who was out of the rotation at an earlier point this season, he's going to play over Wayne Ellington. He's going to play over Tyler Johnson, most likely. He's almost a top 50 player over the last 2 weeks in 27 minutes a night, and he's pretty hard to ignore sitting out there on the waiver wire. Juancho Hernangómez, another player who is available on many waiver wires. Yes, Will Barton will return relatively soon, I would expect. And that's going to move Juancho out of that small forward position. But what I think it does is there is now an open spot at power forward. Mason Plumlee's there at the moment. But I can see Juancho going up there and playing 30 minutes as some backup 3 minutes and playing as a backup four and getting a bulk of playing time there. He's averaging 14-6 with 2 threes and almost a steal and a block. His efficiency is through the roof as well. I really think Juancho can maintain 12-team value. And a couple of much maligned guards, poor shooting guards, Marcus Smart, a player who's really thriving at the moment. You do have to be careful with adding him because that field goal percentage isn't great, but he's giving you big steal numbers, big assist numbers, and I think he will remain in that starting lineup over Jaylen Brown. He actually had a huge game today with big scoring as well. And the other one is Emmanuel Mudiay. I find it really hard to trust David Fizdale, but over the last 6 games, Mudiay has played 31 a night. Trey Burke has been out for some of that time, no doubt about that. But Manny Mudiay averaging 17, 3.5, and 5.5 with 44% and 89% from the line. They are numbers that you have to go ahead and roster. Trey Burke's return might impact that. Fizdale's inability to maintain any sort of consistency could impact that as well. But for now, I think you just got to go and grab Emmanuel Mudiay and see what happens. So there's a list of guys, and there's probably some other names there who I have missed off, and I'm going through. So I can't highlight every single player every week when I do this, of course. Going through some names who may be available in your league that you should be paying some attention to and seeing whether that fits your team and making that decision as to who you drop and who you add out of this list. So thank you, guys. Fantasy check-in time now with the Miami Heat. Kelly Olynyk, who I just referenced in the waiver wire ad, putting up some big numbers. The 52nd ranked player over the last 2 weeks, the best ranked Miami Heat player during that time. Very hard to leave him on the waiver wire at the moment. He's playing a lot of four, but him and Bam Adebayo he will play a lot of four, but he was filling in that center void left by Hassan Whiteside, but still maintained good production when Whiteside came back. So that's an encouraging sign. Well, Adebayo is putting up some strong numbers, 26 minutes a night over the last 2 weeks, but most of that has been without Whiteside. So I would be okay with holding Bam for this point, but I think we're going to see those minutes come back down to the 18 to 21 sort of a mark, and that's going to make him a pretty tough 12-team league hold. Justice Winslow had a really hot streak. He is a top 100 player over the last 2 weeks, but we've seen over the last 2 to 3 games that hot shooting was completely unsustainable, and it's fallen back off recently. He is playing well without Goran Dragic, who's still dealing with that knee injury. As an aside with Dragic, I don't think he's not a 10-team league guy, and I think he's really borderline 12-team league, and in most cases, I'd look to drop him in those sort of formats. Winslow's a real borderline type of guy. I also think Josh Richardson's a real buy low at the moment, outside the top 220 over the last couple of weeks, because his shooting has been so poor, 29% from the field and 31% from three. He's still getting you 4.5 assists, and the other thing that's been a real staple of his value over the years are steals and blocks, and they've been non-existent as well. So I think Josh Richardson's a strong buy low. Yeah, Olynyk is an interesting add. Winslow probably leave for 14-team as well. Dragic, I think, is very much veering into drop territory. Fantasy check-in with the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, Giannis Antetokounmpo, update on him, the free throws continue to be terrible. He is outside the top 15 over the last 2 weeks. His numbers have taken somewhat of a hit. Eric Bledsoe, fairly solid. Well, Malcolm Brogdon, who was up around the top 20, I think the last time we did this, he is outside the top 120 now. And that's because he just hasn't played as many minutes. There's been some blowouts involved in there in both directions. His assist numbers have dropped and he's getting no defensive stats. But the legendary efficiency that Brogdon's been showing has been able to stick, and I think he's still a hold there. Sterling Brown went from out of the rotation to playing 22 minutes a night and then back out of the rotation last game, while George Hill, now in Milwaukee, is establishing himself as a 18 to 20 minute a night guy. Of course, that is just a very deep league sort of a player, but it takes away any value that Dante DiVincenzo had, while Pat Connaughton, Sterling Brown, Tone Snell, they just fight for the scraps there. On the wings, Brooke Lopez really thriving at the moment, a top 50 player. Absolutely no reason why he can't stick with this. Almost three threes and over two blocks per game in 30 minutes. No reason why he can't continue to be around that area for the remainder of the season. Not much else happening here. Thon McCair really not doing too much on this team. Had an opportunity with the Muppet John Henson injured and then traded. He's doing absolutely nothing to make me think that he's got any sort of long-term future in the NBA, and that's a disappointing thing for McCair. He just cannot sort of stamp himself on the game. Hopefully he's able to get things turned around, but at this point it doesn't look convincing. Well, Ersan Ilyasova was flirting with top 150 value at one point earlier this season, but he's seen his minutes push right down with Brook Lopez's minutes going well up, and I imagine that's the way that it's going to stick for the majority of the rest of the season. Fantasy check-in for the Minnesota Timberwolves. We've seen Karl Anthony Towns get that block rate back up, and he is now the top seven player over the last 2 weeks. That's a realistic expectation for him to finish there. Well, Robert Covington, I think he is still bothered with this knee injury. He just hasn't looked the same the last three or four games. He was a top 20 player. I think last time we did this, he's fallen out of there because he is seeing his playing time be reduced. He's not quite as active defensively, and that's impacting his value. But it could be a buy-low issue if someone really is worried about the knee, but it is a concern because he just doesn't look the same out there on the court. Well, Derrick Rose, a guy who was putting up consistent numbers, has dropped right off. He's almost outside the top 150 over the last 2 weeks. So much of his value was coming from a very unsustainable field goal percentage because he's still not a steals or threes or blocks type of guy, even though his assists have been up this season, and that's been impressive. I'm still holding Rose, but I'm not certain that it's going to continue all season. Well, Dario Saric has put together a strong run. He started for Taj Gibson on Saturday with Gibson out. That's three decent minutes games in a row for Saric, but I just still can't believe that he's going to play 30 a night and Gibson's going to play 18 a night. I just don't think that's going to be a regular occurrence. And I think actually Saric would need 32 a night to be a must-roster 10-teamer and probably a must-roster 12. So he's a 14-team league at the moment, Dario, who has improved, but I'm not certain that the role's going to be there. And even over this last little run, he's shooting 60% from the field, a number which is sure to drop. And just quick mention of Andrew Wiggins, who is shooting 53% over the last few games, but realistically still can't be a fantastic fantasy option. But still, he is the 61st ranked player over that time, so that is something that you would call an improvement for Wigo on this team. Josh Okogie has been getting in the first quarter recently, and I think that's mainly due to Covington's knee injury, where they're cutting 3 or 4 minutes out of Bob's playing time, and it's going to Okogie. I don't think he's going to have any sort of fantasy impact for this season, unfortunately. And that'll do it for another of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break shows, waiver wire ads, looking at the Miami Heat, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Memphis Grizzlies. Subscribe to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on Spotify, and of course, on YouTube. We can get all that information, and make sure you're checking out the breakdown I did of the Phoenix and Washington trade. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.